Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, whatever time you are tuning in. Welcome to Homesteading and Gardening in the Suburbs. I'm Emma from Misfit Gardening, and today I'm just going to dive right in because we're talking about thrifty tips for the garden, because I understand that growing a garden can get really expensive, especially if you have a big seed habit, right? If you're buying lots and lots of heirloom and organic seeds, then those can really start to add up when they're costing $3 or $4 a seed packet. So in this podcast episode, I wanted to talk about some ways that you can start to save some money in the garden and help your garden grow a little bit better and a little cheaper, right? So without further ado, let's get stuck in. So the first thrifty tip that I have is using those cardboard inner tubes on toilet paper. Okay, these tubes make really great compostable plant pots for seedlings. Okay, you want to be putting those tubes in a container like a salad box or a margarine or an ice cream tub, and then you can fill them with seed starting compost and then put in your seeds. This works really well for things like beans, peas, carrots, stuff that don't like their roots disturbed when you're transplanting them. Now you can go the extra mile and you can fold them in on the bottom to help hold that soil in there, but it's not necessary, especially if you're putting them into another container. Things like those clear salad boxes and tubs and things work really well for holding a lot of those toilet paper inner tubes, okay, and you can get, you know, a lot of plants in there when you're seed starting without having all the expense of buying seed starting trays. Now, of course, you could be purchasing your seed starting kit sort of now as the season is coming to a close. Same with seed, you could actually be purchasing seed now, and a lot of places are going to be starting to be reducing the cost of these things because it's not the right season. So you'll find that you can pick up a couple of really good bargains between sort of now and October. All right, tip number two is making your own compostable plant pots from newspaper. Now, here in the US, I get a free newspaper circular thing with, you know, from the grocery store every week, and I save all those. I mean, I save them so I have them for packaging, wrapping glasses, all that kind of stuff. But you can also use them to make compostable plant pots, and these degrade a lot quicker than the cardboard toilet paper tubes. So what you need to do is you kind of roll the paper around a glass tumbler or a food can or food tin, something like that, and then you fold it at the bottom. You then want to pop those pots in a tray and then fill them with seed starting mix, and then you can put your seeds in. You can purchase these plant pot makers that make the task a little easier, but they're not necessary. You can literally make them by rolling them around things that you have already in the house. And by varying the diameter of that container that you're using as a mold, you can make them smaller or bigger. But just know that newspaper pots do disintegrate very rapidly. They dry out very quickly too. So it's really important to have them in another container, like those salad boxes or a margarine tub or something, just to kind of keep things together. And, you know, these work great for those bigger seedlings that need a little bit more room. I've used them for things like squashes and cucumbers at the beginning of the year. Now, number three is yogurt pots. So yogurt pots make great sturdy little containers for your seedlings as well, especially if you're getting the plastic ones. I know you can get glass ones and stuff too, but make sure that you poke some drainage holes in the bottom first, and you can just fill that with your seed starting mix and put a seedling in there. Now, they work great for things like chili peppers or sweet peppers, something that, you know, you only really want to maybe put one seed in there, but you want to give it plenty of space to grow. So yogurt pots, start saving those, especially if you've got kids and you go through a lot of yogurt. That's a great way to have lots of small containers for your seed starting. Now, number four, I've mentioned it a couple of times already, but those large clamshell tubs of salad, you can use those empty containers as mini seed propagators or greenhouses. So you want to give it a good clean, and if you can remove the label, that will help. It will help you get more light in there. But you just basically can pop the cover on it and help produce like a little mini greenhouse. Place your seedlings in some light and it'll help keep that heat in, it'll help retain that moisture, and it'll help improve your germination rate. Number five is something that I used to do all the time in the UK, because I was growing a lot of my seedlings on a windowsill inside. So if you take a piece of sturdy cardboard or corrugated cardboard and you cover it in foil, and then you prop that up next to your seedlings so it's going to reflect the light coming from the windowsill back onto the window, back onto the seedlings, it's going to help reduce those spindly, leggy seedlings that happen because those seeds don't have enough light and they're trying to get to the light. This also helps if you've got a little setup with grow lights, and they might not be as strong as you want them to be. If you line the area where you're going to be popping them into with something like a mylar or foil, then you're going to help reflect a lot more of that light back into where your plants are growing. Number six is learn to take cuttings. So you can take hardwood or softwood cuttings of lots of different plants, okay? Things like blackberry, raspberry, salmonberry, loganberry. All those canes produce really good cuttings that you can then dip in a little bit of rooting hormone and then pop into some sandy soil or, you know, just a seed starting mix that you've added a little bit of extra sand to, or vermiculite, something that's going to really help drainage. And you will be really surprised if you keep them moist, they will start to take root. Also plants like grapevines and fruit bushes, things like blackcurrant, redcurrant and elderberry, they all grow very readily from cuttings that are taken. So this is going to help you increase the number of plants that you have for free, basically. So learning to take cuttings is a really valuable and thrifty thing that you can do for your garden. Number seven is reusing plastic bottles to make individual plant cloches. So what you do is you take your empty drink bottle, now the 2 liter or the large fizzy pop or soda bottles work much better for this than the smaller ones. But basically you cut the bottom off and you can pop that over an individual plant, and it's going to act like a mini greenhouse. Now you can pop the lid on if it's going to be a cold night and help keep some of that warmth in there and help protect it from frosts. Or you can take the lid off if it's going to be a little bit warmer. The great thing about this is it also reduces slug and snail damage to your seedlings, because they can't get through that plastic barrier. And if the lid's on, they definitely can't get in. So plastic bottles, great plant cloches. Number eight is using grey water to water your plants. Now, some cities require permits to save things like runoff water, and you should definitely check with your local city to find out if you can collect rainwater in the garden and cut down on things like your sprinkler use or your garden hose. A lot of people have had hit and miss when it comes to using grey water. If you have been using, you know, lots of detergent and cleaning lots of like greasy dishes and things like that, then you probably don't want to be using that water to water your plants. But you can definitely use water that you've saved. Maybe you put a bucket in the shower while your shower is warming up to collect the water. And then once your shower is warm, you take that bucket out and use that to water your plants. There's a lot of information about saving water and collecting water that's used to water the garden that's available online, particularly in areas where there is a lot of drought. So check those out if you're interested. Number 9 is banana skins around your roses help them perk them up as the skins decompose. And banana skins break down really quickly and they provide a great source of potassium. You can also pop them around other plants in your garden and help perk those up as well. Or you can add them to the compost and help, bring extra potassium and nutrients into your compost pile. Number 10 is growing your own comfrey to help make your own liquid fertilizer. Now, I do a lot of my own DIY liquid fertilizers. Comfrey is by far my favorite. I also make one using different weeds that I'm pulling up because, it's kind of difficult to get rid of those sometimes, and they're pulling up nutrients from the soil too. So by making your own natural fertilizer, you can kill the weed in the process, but also use those nutrients that weed has taken up to then fertilize your garden. Now, if you're making your own DIY fertilizers, then be warned, they do stink. They are pretty ripe. That can be a little bit of an issue if you're living in an urban area and it's a still hot day. You might not want to be using that fertilizer to be watering your garden on those kind of days, particularly if the neighbors are having a fancy party on the other side. But it's a great thrifty way to, fertilize your soil and your plants. You can use other leaves as well. You don't have to use comfrey. So if you have an abundance of strawberries, then those leaves make a great liquid fertilizer, as does bracken if you're in the UK. Clover, stinging nettles. Stinging nettles make one of the best liquid fertilizers, and I really wish that I could get it to grow where I live in Utah. Maybe when we move, I'll be able to have some success with that. Borage is good, chicory, yarrow, parsley, and even washed seaweed. So one of the things that I loved when I lived in England was being so close to the coast. I went to the coast to walk the dogs every week, and one of the things that we would do was I would take a little grocery bag and I would put some seaweed in it. And then when I got home, I would wash it all out and then I would add it to my liquid fertilizer, or I would add it to the compost heap, or I even used it as a mulch in some of my garden beds. So seaweed is a really great resource for any gardener. So if you're lucky enough to live on the coast and there's been a storm, then maybe go check out the seafront and see if you can get some seaweed. Obviously, make sure that you are allowed to take seaweed from the beach that you are at. Make sure that you do check those foraging rules that are in that area. If you don't live in the coast, then weeds like plantain, dock, and dandelions can all be used to make liquid fertilizers or teas, not for drinking, but for the garden. Just make sure that you're using plants that have not been treated with any type of herbicide or weed killer, because you're going to pass that on to your plants, and we don't want that. Next up, number 11 is if you happen to have leftover beer in cans or bottles. It's an unlikely event at my house, but we also brew our beer, so we do have dregs of things that are often left over before we start cleaning stuff. You can actually use that to bait traps for slugs. Now, one of my co-workers asked how that works. Okay, it is not just placing the empty cans all over your garden. That's not going to work. What you need to do is you actually need to bury the container so that the top is level with the soil, and then fill it in with some beer. Okay, so like a margarine tub or like a tall cottage cheese tub or something like that, where you've got a little bit of height, is perfect. So dig a hole that's big enough for that container to go in, put the tub into it, and then fill it up partially, not all the way. Fill up enough beer so if things fall into it, they're not going to be able to get out. You then want to kind of proper cover over that container, something that's going to help keep it dark and cool. But you don't want to close off the trap completely, so you know the slugs and snails can't get in. So you could prop a rock on top of another rock to leave a gap. If you have got, you know, bits of roofing tile in England, you know, they work great. And check those traps regularly and you should find that you've got a whole heap of slugs and snails and things in there. If you can't get hold of beer for whatever reason, or you don't want to use beer, but you are a big fan of grapefruit, then those grapefruit peelings or shells, especially if you eat them in half and then scoop out the flesh and eat them that way, if you pop those into the garden, like the empty shells, then those also attract slugs and snails, and you can use those as little traps to get those. But again, check them on a regular basis, because you don't want to create a nice habitat for the slugs and snails to then, you know, dine on your hard working vegetables. All right, number 12. If you're growing in containers, use broken up styrofoam or polystyrene packaging at the bottom of the container for drainage. If you need to use weights in there, like some gravel or rocks and things, then you can use that as well. Obviously, styrofoam or polystyrene packaging is lightweight, so it's not going to help hold things down, but it's really great to use for drainage. Other things that I've heard of that work well for drainage are things like crushed soda cans as well. I've never used that particularly, but I've heard that that's a good way to add extra drainage as well. Although I prefer to recycle things like soda cans and stuff that's made out of aluminium. Number 13, plant labels can be made from cutting up plastic milk jugs. So if you've got plastic milk containers, yogurt pots, margarine tubs, anything like that that's plastic, you can use a permanent marker to write on them. Just cut them up, cut them to size, and just make sure that you rinse the carton out well beforehand. Number 14 is using dried crushed eggshells around your tender leafy plants or fruits to help deter slugs. My dad swears by this, and he says this has been like one of the things that's worked really well in his little container garden. I don't do it because I don't eat enough eggs, and we don't have the chickens anymore, so we didn't have a lot of eggshells. Beforehand we did a little bit, but I don't think I crushed them up enough to work. But lots of people have a lot of success with that, so if you eat a lot of eggs, start saving those eggshells. Number 15, copper wire around your pots or containers helps to stop slugs crawling up to eat your plants. Copper wire can be expensive to buy, but lots of thrifty gardeners and homesteaders seem to come across these things on a regular basis and put them to some other use. So that's another good one. Number 16 is old net curtains or drapes over here in the US can be used to cover your plants susceptible to pests like birds or flies. So flies like white fly, black fly, carrot fly or onion fly. You can also use these fine mesh or net curtains to help reduce caterpillar damage by preventing butterflies from getting to your cabbages. And one of the best ways that you can put these over your plants is to put some bamboo canes into the ground near where they, you know, the plants are growing, and then put an old water bottle or, you know, plastic bottle, upend it and put it over that cane, because that's going to stop that cane from snagging through the material. And then just drape the curtain over those. You'll need probably four of those stakes and bottles in the ground, because that's going to help provide like a mini kind of tent over your plants. And that's going to help just make sure that the curtain does go all the way to the ground when you're putting it in, because if you're leaving a gap, guess what, the bugs are going to find a gap too. But you should be able to significantly reduce the amount of pests that you're seeing on your plants by doing that. Number 17 is coffee grinds are rumored to prevent slugs when mixed with compost. When mixed with compost, they act as a slow release fertilizer. I don't know whether they actually prevent slugs, but we definitely use them a lot in our compost. We drink a lot of coffee, so a lot of our compost is made with coffee. So we use that quite heavily. It's a really great source of nutrients to compost. So if you're wondering whether you can compost coffee grinds, you definitely can. Lots of people spread them around their plants in the garden to act like a slow release fertilizer. So that's something that you can try if you're curious. Number 18 is using cardboard egg boxes to start off seedlings. So kind of like the toilet paper tubes, you would want to pop some soil into each of the little spaces, and then you either plant the whole thing or break each pod off and plant when it's ready. These are better for small seeds. The cardboard will decompose over time. It's going to take quite some time though for cardboard to break down. Paper's a lot quicker. I've not tried using egg boxes to start off my seedlings. I much prefer the toilet paper tubes or the newspaper pots. Okay, number 19 is back with our friend the plastic bottle. And if you cut the bottom off again and you place the plastic bottle with the mouth end down into the soil near roots of those plants that need a little bit of extra care when it comes to watering, things like tomatoes, and you can water by hand into that plastic bottle, then that's going to help make sure that the water goes straight to the roots. So that's a really good tip. You can also use that for things like containers, where you want to make sure that water is going to be getting down into the plants. And last, but by no means least, is deterring birds and deer from your garden by suspending old CDs with a string or fishing line. Now, this isn't because, you know, maybe they're terrified of your choice in music, although that could be the reason. It's actually the movement in the wind and the flashing of the light as the CDs catch the light can help to deter animals that are investigating your garden. I hope you found this episode helpful. If you did, then please come on over to the Facebook group and say hello. I will put the link to it in the show notes. Until next time, I hope your garden grows beautifully, and I'll see you all next week.